has been one of our keystone verses for this current study that we're in. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. He who waters will also be watered himself. Now, we're not going to go back through all the verses, but we see that in the scriptures, water is always associated with life, living waters, the waters of life. Ezekiel talked about the temple door and water running across the threshold, and everything it touched, it brought life. And then Jesus announced when he was here on the earth that the great plan of God involved putting rivers of living water and wellsprings of life and salvation inside of you to make you the temple of the Holy Spirit and to put the living water of God in you so that wherever you go, that water can flow and bring life and abundance and increase and breakthrough and everything that the life and the living waters of God will do. And so we look at that in light of this passage. The generous soul will be made rich. He who waters will also be watered himself. So the idea is that as we water and minister to and allow the life that's in us to flow from us to other people, that it also brings benefit to us personally. But the pattern that we see in the scripture, for example, Matthew 6 and 33, seek first the kingdom and then everything you want and need will be added to you, as opposed to doing what? Seeking everything you need and want and trying to obtain it in life. So in the kingdom, you put the kingdom first and other things are added to you. In the kingdom, if you want to be promoted, if you want to increase in authority, you increase in submission. You increase in serving other people. And then when you do that, God then promotes you. When he promotes you, it's solid. Are you hearing me? It's the kind of promotion that you want and you look for. And so in the same way, we've been made a blessing. We have been blessed. We are blessed. It's an inward reality. Amen. But he says that our focus should be on being a blessing to others, pouring out that blessing to others, that living water to others, and in the process, we benefit from it personally, as opposed to just trying to figure out how we can become more blessed or how we can experience more of God's blessings for ourselves. Remember, the Bible says God has given you and me the ability to get wealth so that his covenant might be established in all the earth. So there's a purpose for the prosperity. There's a purpose for the prosperity. Amen. I love the Passion Translation of this same verse, Proverbs 11:25. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them, and the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. So we're not pouring out our lives to get more. We're pouring out our lives to be a blessing to others, to help other people succeed, to help other people overcome. What can we do to make somebody's life? That's where we began in January of this year. Remember, really the last Sunday in December of last year. What can I do to make somebody else's life better? How can I help somebody else to succeed and overcome and fulfill their purpose and destiny in Father's kingdom? So one more time, those who live to bless others, are you living to bless others? Amen. Then you will have blessings heaped upon you, and the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. I love the way the Passion Translation words this. You pouring out your life to pour out blessings, meaning what? There's going to be some effort on our part required to bless other people. There's going to be some sacrifice on our part required to bless other people. We're going to have to pour some things out of ourselves for other people. Are you seeing this? But when we do that, we tap into the wells of salvation that reside within us. Now, if you've ever worked a jigsaw puzzle, especially if it's a big one, you tend to look for the border first, and in the process of working the border, you look at the box, and let's say there's a yellow taxi cab on there, and as you're sorting through the puzzle, and this is the way I do it. You might do it exactly this way, but this I think is kind of, just routine. As you're sorting through looking for those corner and edge pieces, you start seeing pieces of yellow cab, and you kind of set them aside. And then you get enough yellow cab, you kind of put that yellow cab together while you're still. So the point I'm trying to make is when you're putting together a large puzzle, you do it in parts and pieces and sections. But then the idea is eventually you're going to import that yellow cab that you've been working over here on the side of the table. You're going to drag it into the frame, into the border, right, and position it where it connects with everything else. So the Bible says in the last days, people will always be learning but never come to the knowledge of the truth. And there are a lot of reasons for that. I'm not here to try to teach on all those this morning. But one of the reasons people are always learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth is that they never connect the yellow cab with the big picture. They never see how this connects with this, which connects with this, and we start to see this bigger picture of not just our salvation, but the covenant that God has with us, the love that He has for us, the purpose for our lives. Well, when we're together, and I'm teaching you or speaking to you on a Sunday morning, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, we basically have time to work on a yellow cab. But I want you to, you know, I'm not serving you effectively if I never explain to you how that yellow cab fits in with everything else. And so we started out this year, this be a year of service and serving and giving and actually loving God and others by serving and giving. Amen. And we've talked about all that God has put in us. And now the last several weeks, we've been talking about our soul as a valve to allow all that's in us to flow forth from us. And so we haven't moved on from any of that. We're just working on different sections. But again, the idea is for us to see this holistic approach, comprehensive, cohesive, cumulative. We've taught a lot of that on Wednesday nights. To see, comprehensive means the whole picture. Cohesive means how it all fits together. And cumulative, meaning from the Bible, you know, what did God say about this, if anything, in Genesis, you know, and how it all accumulates and comes together. So we're not leaving anything out. Amen. And this is how we grow and develop in the knowledge and understanding of the things of God. Now, we sang the song this morning, "Awake My Soul, Prepare an Entrance for Your Glory." Amen. And we know that God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's a spirit reality. That's an inward reality of the new birth. You're not waiting to be blessed. You have been blessed. You have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. And the Bible also says that Jesus took the curse off of us so that the blessing of Abraham could come upon the non-biological descendants of Abraham. In other words, you may not be Jewish, but if you've been born again, you have the same blessing upon you that was upon Abraham, which means God in the new covenant has uniquely positioned you and me to be able to pour out blessings to others, both physical, natural, financial blessings, as well as spiritual blessings. So you could help someone make their car payment, and then you could also like cast the demon out of their first cousin. Amen. Amen. So we're in this really, because did Jesus not do that? I mean, Jesus fed hungry people and then cast out a legion of demons. And He's the prototype for this new man, this new in Christ man that you and I have become. So awake my soul, prepare an entrance for your glory. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. And when you say your glory, I always think of that as preparing an entrance for the glory of the Lord. And that would be 100% accurate. But as I was meditating on it while we were singing it this morning, the Lord reminded me that He has hidden His wisdom for you and me to find. And the Bible says He's hidden it for your glory. And so the glory of a thing is when that thing or that individual is operating at its highest and best. Are you following me? When we're achieving maximum efficiency and potential being realized and these sorts of things. And so it's not either or, it's both and. It's our soul being awakened so that the glory of the Lord can flow from us, from Him, to us, through us, to the world around us, but also so that your glory, the glory of God that He intends for your life, can flow again through the soul. Remember, a mental block can effectively turn it off or shut it down. Now, I want us to go this morning to, thank you, Holy Spirit. Praise God. All right. So let me get a sip of water first. We've said that God's ways are counterintuitive to man's ways. Now we're connecting some things together. reviewing some things, but we're moving on to some new stuff today, and I'm going to try to do this as quickly as possible. God's ways are counterintuitive to man's ways. What does that mean? Counterintuitive means contrary to common sense expectation, but true nevertheless. So counterintuitive means God's ways produce results opposite to common sense expectations. And we said last week that common sense says if you honor God with 10% of your income, you'll have to live, you'll have less money to live on. But that's not, that's common sense, but it's not kingdom sense. It's not, you know, the ways of God are higher than our ways. So common sense says if you prefer others ahead of yourself, you'll be walked on, skipped over, left out, marginalized, and disrespected. So common sense does have its place in natural things, but cannot be relied upon when it comes to supernatural things. As I love to say, common sense has never and never will produce a miracle, because common sense is the enemy of faith. Common sense is the enemy, it should say, of faith there. Praise God. I got a typo. Amen. But you know what I'm saying. So common sense, and we spent a great deal of time last week explaining this, but common sense works from the brain. Faith works from the heart. And we explained last week that the brain's primary function is survival. And so the brain views the ways of God and the ways of faith as being risky, as being risky. And so the scriptures say we walk by faith and not by sight. So when we lost our heart connection with God, we substituted our brain in place of our heart. And mankind has lived that way for many generations, but that's not how God created us to live. And Jesus has restored the ability for us to be led by the Spirit and to walk by faith instead of being led by our own understanding and common sense. So we said common sense feeds on the way things look, seem, and feel. Faith, however, feeds on the Word of God. Now, all the ways of God require faith. All the ways of God require faith. Common sense will always reject the ways of God. Common sense will always, not sometimes, it will always reject the ways of God. Because God's ways are higher than our ways, they do not make sense to the natural or to the carnal mind. Now, I shared these verses with you a couple of weeks ago. I want to go back to them again. And this is where we'll kind of springboard into some new stuff this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned as opposed to what? Discerned with or understood with the brain. Or as we could just simplify this as with common sense. The ways of God are foolishness to the natural man, because the natural man lives by common sense. And the ways of God do not make sense to the natural mind. Now, he's going to go on and explain two more categories of people, natural, carnal, spiritual. Again, natural, carnal, spiritual. A natural man or woman is a man or woman who has never been born again. Amen. They do not have a heart connection, a spirit union with God. Okay? And so the ways of God make no sense to them. They're foolishness to them. It seems ridiculous to waste your time on a Sunday morning going to church. You know, you could be sleeping in, you could be playing golf, you could be going fishing, you could be doing something else, right? It doesn't make sense to give your money to the kingdom or to the things of God. It doesn't make sense. Are you following what I'm saying? You probably got family members or friends that think you're silly and that you're wasting your time or whatever, okay? Again, that's the natural mind. That's someone who hasn't been born again. Now, let's skip down to chapter 3, a few verses down. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Let's stop right there. So a carnal man or woman is a man or woman who has been born again, but for the most part still thinks like someone who has not been born again. And this individual will, because they think, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, because they still think like someone who's not been born again, they will pretty much still live like someone who's not been born again, even though they have been. And so this is where discipleship is so critically important, because discipleship is the process by which God renews and reconditions our minds so that we think in agreement with Him and our born again spirit instead of continuing to think in agreement with the man or woman we used to be and our flesh. Amen. Amen. And I got a little louder and kind of dug a little deeper on that point because, again, discipleship, did I mention that discipleship class starts this coming Wednesday? So a spiritual man or woman is a man or woman who has been born again and for the most part thinks like someone who has been born again. This is someone who has grown, who has developed in the things and the ways of God. Now, I'm going to go back to verse 1. I'm going to read it again. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where envy, strife, and for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? Behaving like mere men. Now, understand, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And one of the big problems we have in the body of Christ today is born again men and women who are still behaving like mere men. If you've been born again, you are not the same as people who have not been born again. You have a different spirit in you. You have a different life in you. You have a different authority in you. You have a different name in you. You have a different spirit in you. You have a different nature in you. You have a different connection in you. You have light in you, not darkness. You have wisdom in you, not confusion. You have peace in you, not anxiety. Amen. You are no longer a mere man. But carnal people still see themselves as mere men. You even hear people talk about it. You even hear people say things like that, right? Only one man ever walked on water. Lie? Lie. That's not true. And there's reports of all kinds of modern day people walking on water. You say, I don't believe that, Pastor. It's because you're carnally minded. That's why you don't believe it. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. Oh, get stirred up about this, right? So, the inclination here, and if you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians, what Paul is literally saying is, I came to tell you some really important stuff, but you weren't able to receive it because you were carnal. And now I've come back again to tell you some really important stuff, and you're still not able. Because you're still carnal, and you're still behaving like mere men. You are not a natural man. You have now become a supernatural person inwardly, capable of supernatural things. Amen. I get so stirred up by this. I'm myself too. Amen. Making progress here. We're chipping away. The word of God is like a hammer that chips away, breaks the rock into pieces. Praise God. All right. Now, for a spiritually minded man or woman, and we're going to talk some more about this, but for a spiritually minded man or woman, God's ways become your new and improved common sense. We could say it's uncommon common sense. What does that mean? There are all kinds of things for me that make no sense to a natural man or woman or a carnal man or a woman that make perfect sense to me now. Tithing makes perfect sense to me now. Giving makes perfect sense to me now. Giving more than 10% of my income. It is how Pam and I roll. Are you following me? Matter of fact, it makes no sense to me to withhold the tithe. Attending church, it's common sense. I mean, just gonna be here. If I try to only miss one Sunday a year and I'm with my family on vacation, but even then, something ain't right on that Sunday morning when I'm not here. Amen. It's become a part of me. Some of you are like that too. I mean, again, take your vacation, enjoy it, but it's like, man, it just feels weird. Amen. It's because it's become the uncommon common sense now in my life. And that is a sign of at least being spiritually minded in those areas. In those areas. Now, in this passage, he talks about fed you with milk and not with solid food. We know in other places the solid food is simplified as meat. Amen. So he fed them with milk and not meat. And he had to feed them milk and not meat because they weren't able to eat the meat. Just like a baby starts with milk and then gradually progresses and works his or her way up to solid food, the same has to take place for you and me as born again men and women. In other words, we could even say that the way to overcome carnality is to outgrow it. You grow out of carnality. Are you with me? You grow up into Christ in all things. Now, we're in Christ. The Bible makes it very clear. But now that we're in Christ, we're growing up into Him. Just like a child, a small child may put on his mama's, his daddy's shoes and clunk around the house in them, right? But eventually their feet will grow into those big shoes. So we have put on some really big shoes and we are growing up into Christ in all things. Again, that's discipleship. Discipleship is the process by which we grow up into Christ in all things. But now you have to have the right diet. You have to be fed properly. When God, got ready to bring His, people out of the wilderness into the promised land, the Joshua generation, he changed their diet. They went from eating manna, right? Now we fix to start eating from the promised land itself. We're going to start eating and enjoying and partaking of all that God had given to them when he gave it to Abraham. It had been theirs for all these generations. Now they're fixed to start feasting on that. Amen. Now, the difference between milk and meat, I made this statement a few weeks ago. Some of you posted it online. The difference between milk and meat, I know I've got it on there, but have you ever wondered, and I've asked the Lord, it's like, you know, people have all these strange ideas about the difference between milk and meat. If we don't get any further this morning, we're going to nail down the difference between milk and meat. But the difference between milk and meat is the amount of faith it takes to override common sense and act upon the Word of God. That's the difference between milk and meat. Now, let me tell you how a lot of people teach it and how a lot of people think about it. And you let the Lord lead you. Let the Lord speak to you. As again, my responsibility is to speak to you what He gives me to give to you. And then your responsibility is to search it out for yourself. And so if you think I'm wrong, search the scriptures. But pastors and teachers often refer to the parts of the Bible with deeper meaning as the meat of the Word. Meat in their way of thinking has to do with the ability to understand or the intellect or brain power. So we hear expressions like, man, that sermon was heavy, or that sermon was meaty. And we have confused a sermon that makes you think or something you've never heard before as being the difference between milk and meat. But I don't believe that is what the Bible is teaching us at all. Because meat doesn't mean IQ. Meat doesn't require a college education to understand. The difference between milk and meat is the amount of faith it takes on your part, on my part, to override common sense and act upon the Word of God. So the difference between milk and meat is not intellect, it's action. The difference between milk and meat is not intellect, it's action. When Paul said they weren't able to receive it, it wasn't because they didn't understand the words he would have used to communicate it. It's not because they didn't have enough vocabulary to know what he was saying. That's not what he meant. When he said they weren't able to receive it, what he's literally saying is, you are not able to hear this and act upon it and apply it to your life. It's over your head, but it's not over your heart. But they're still living out of their heads instead of living out of their hearts. Are you following me? Okay, so remember, Jesus said something very similar to this to his disciples. He said, I still have so many things to tell you, but you're not able. Here we go again. You're not able to bear it now, but the Holy Spirit is coming. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will continue to teach you and reveal to you the things that I have started teaching and revealing to you. Amen. And so do you see how that's basically the same identical thing that happened with Jesus and his disciples? Now it's continuing with the Apostle Paul and those whom he has been called and chosen to disciple in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes? So again, watch this now. I asked the Lord, I said, well, Lord, why don't you just tell him anyway? Because I'd love to know what you was going to say. Right? I mean, why not just tell him anyway? And you know, then they could, you know, I'm talking about things my mom and daddy taught me. My mama taught me years ago that if you hear something from the Word in a sermon or whatever that may not make sense to you or you may not understand yet, she'd say, just put it on a shelf before you throw it in the garbage. Because it may be that you've got to grow up a little more before you can incorporate that into your walk with the Lord. But either way, if you'll put it on a shelf instead of discarding it altogether, once you grow more, you'll know whether or not it is from the Lord or you need to throw it in the garbage. Right? So I'm like, okay, Lord's in, so why not just go ahead and tell him and let him put it on a shelf? Well, there's a lot of reasons for that, but one of them is what we see in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He said, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. What's the difference between, I know there's a lot of differences, but what's the primary difference between knowledge and love? It's action. It's action, right? Are you still with me? It's action. So it would have actually, how about this one? Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the days of provocation. Paul's the writer of Hebrews to the Hebrew people. What's he saying there? You can hear the Word of God. You can hear the Word of God and it make you feel better about your situation. You can hear the Word of God and it awaken and arouse faith in your heart and in your life. Okay? But now watch this. If you hear the Word of God and you do not act upon the Word of God, the Bible says it actually will cause your heart to become a little less sensitive to the Word of God the next time you hear it. You become desensitized when we don't act on the Word of God. So Jesus would have done them, his disciples, and us no favor by telling us something we weren't able to bear yet. Amen? Because what it may have resulted in, and certainly other parts of the Word still result in that in people's lives today, is they hear things, they talk about it, they brag about it, they quote it, but they've never acted upon it. And so they've actually become desensitized to God trying to speak to them on a level that can make a difference in their lives because they think certain things are now beneath them because they've got the higher revelations of the Word of God. And they're prideful. And God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Amen. Are you following along here? So the difference between milk and meat is not intellect. It's not how smart you are. It's not how well-versed you are in Scripture, as important as being well-versed in Scripture is. But the difference between milk and meat is not intellect, it's action. Let me prove it to you. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. Are you getting anything out of this morning? For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Ouch. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, before we really dig into what this verse says, I want you to pay attention to what it does not say. It does not say for everyone who partakes only of milk is not smart enough to understand the Bible. Nor does it say those who partakes only of milk haven't been saved very long. Nor does it say they haven't studied enough. Nor does it say they haven't been to Bible college. Nor does it say they don't know Greek and Hebrew. Nor does it say they've never read the book of Revelation. Because we think like if the really dense meat in the Bible is the book of Revelation. Well, it depends. It depends. That may be the meat for you. Right? Depends on how much solid food you've been acting on. Are you seeing this, right? You still with me up in here? Praise God. So the Bible says that they were still babes in Christ despite having been saved long enough to be teaching others, to be ministering to others, to be serving others. So we're not talking about how long someone has been alive in Christ. That clearly is pointed out here in their case as correction. It's almost like a rebuke that the Holy Spirit through the writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, you guys and gals been saved long enough. You should be participating in ministry. You should be teaching other people. You should be discipling other people. You should be serving other people. You should be helping other people. But you still need somebody to teach you the basics again, and you have come to need. So come means over the process of time. Over the process of time, you have come to need. You have come to need. Meaning what? After all these years, you still need milk. After all these years, you still are at the milk stage. Are you seeing this? Okay? Now, so what we see then from this is that spiritual growth is not automatic. It will not happen without your active participation. These people weren't as spiritual babes. They weren't immature because they had no knowledge of the word. He didn't say they were unknowledgeable of the word. What did he say? He said they were immature because they had no skill with the word. Did you see that? Let's go back with it now. Let's go back. Amen. Praise God. For everyone who partakes only of milk, verse 13, who partakes only of milk. Now, so watch this. Only of milk. Amelia's my youngest grandchild, okay? She's still taking milk, but she's also packing away the groceries. So she's in the process of weaning from milk only to milk and some solid food, right? And now, man, she'll airplane that chicken. If you don't airplane it in there quick enough, she'll airplane it in herself. You know, are you following me? So we're progressing. So when he says, who partakes only of milk, meaning they've never, as my mom, they never hit a lick at a snake trying to apply any of this. If the meat is not determined by intellect or what we know, by what we do, then somebody who still only partakes of milk is unskilled, not unknowledgeable, not they don't know, but there's unskilled. Man, that word right there is so critically important. They're unskilled in the word of righteousness. And because they're unskilled in the word of righteousness, they're still a baby who partakes only of milk. Who partakes only of milk. So spiritual growth is not automatic. It will not happen without your active participation. They weren't immature because they had no knowledge of the word. They were immature because they had no skill with the word. So what is skill? Skill is the ability to do something well. Are you following me? There's a difference, if you ever had people work in your home, there's a difference between a carpenter and a skilled carpenter. Amen? There's a difference, right? Praise God. There's a difference between someone who can play a trumpet and a skilled trumpet player. Are you with me? Amen? So somebody's just learning, you know. Are they playing the trumpet? Yes. Are they skilled? Not yet. Not yet. Time will tell. Amen. Okay? So they weren't immature because they had no knowledge of the word. They were immature because they had no skill with the word. Skill's the ability to do something well. Now, notice what he says in verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use, those who by reason of use, you know what reason of use literally means? Practice. Practice. What's the difference between a carpenter and a skilled carpenter? Practice. What's the difference between a trumpet player and a skilled trumpet player? Practice. Practice. You get better with practice, right? By reason of use. By reason of use. Are you picking up what I'm putting down now? Again, I'm trying to make this as plain and as easy to understand as possible. So skill, they were unskilled in the Word of God, which, and if they're only partaking of milk, it means they're not even really trying, okay? But skill is the ability to do something well, who by reason of use literally means by practice or by putting it into practice. So again, when Paul said to the Corinthians they were not able to receive the word, he was saying that they were not able to act upon it yet. Now, let's go. I know the time. Can you stay with me just a few minutes? Because we've come too far to end it right here. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you, and I emphasized it on purpose. Did it show up? That you may, notice I put may in yellow there, that you may grow thereby. Pay close attention. That you may grow. We think of it so many times in natural terms. It says that you may grow, but we hear, and I've probably even incorrectly misquoted it over the years, so that you will grow. It doesn't say desire the sincere milk of the word so that you will grow. It says desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. What's the difference? What's the difference? Just because you have and hear and know the sincere milk of the word, that doesn't mean you're going to automatically grow. Because the growth comes in the practicing. The growth comes when you put it into practice. So you got to have the milk. You got to have the milk to have the opportunity to grow. But if you take this verse and the ones we looked at in Hebrews 5, you got people who, we don't know how many years they've been drinking the sincere milk of the word, but they haven't grown. They haven't grown. So having it is important, but it's not enough. In other words, if you give a baby milk, they're going to grow by it automatically, at least to some extent. Are you with me? And we tend to think that's the same for born-again men and women. It's not the same for born-again men and women. Because remember, me providing, the Holy Spirit providing, others providing you and me with the milk of the word, and that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to listen to it, that we're going to take it to heart, that we're going to remember it, that we're going to ask God how we should apply it to our lives and begin to practice the Word of God. Are you seeing the difference here? So the way we ingest the milk, the way we ingest the meat is by acting upon it. Let's go all the way back. We're working a puzzle now. Amen. You still with me? Thank you, Jesus. The difference between milk and meat is the amount of faith it takes to override common sense and act upon the Word of God. Is this making sense to you? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. So spiritual growth is not automatic. It will not happen without your active participation, without mine. Okay? Now, last thing and we'll pray. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. King James Version says provoke. But this is not provoke in a negative sense. It's provoke in a positive sense. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, the Holy Spirit is going to help me here because I've got limited time, but this is something that's going to be more caught than taught. Do you understand what I mean by that? In other words, the Holy Spirit's going to reveal this to you. I want this to come alive in you, all right? And I'm going to try to give it to you exactly the way He gave it to me. A lot of times, we think of the basics of Christianity as being milk, and the more complex doctrines and teachings as being meat. Okay? But if we understand what meat is our ability to act upon, not just know or have knowledge of. Are you following me? So let's talk about some Christian basics. The golden rule. Anybody remember that one from, man, Pam teaches that in the kids in in children's church. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, preferring other people, putting other people's interests ahead of your own. There's not a person in this room that doesn't appreciate somebody else who does that for you. So we're going to do unto others as we would have others do unto you. Sounds like a warm bottle of sweet milk, doesn't it? So simple, so easy. I mean, this is just like, this isn't even Christianity 101. This is Christianity 098. Anybody ever take an 098 class in college? If those of you don't understand what that means you got to take that class to qualify for the college class. Amen. You're not even there yet, right? So we're like, man, this isn't Christianity 101, Pastor Mark. This is like 098. There's 098 and 099, by the way, too. Okay. Amen. So this is Christianity 094. I mean, remedial. Come on with it, Heather. This is remedial. I mean, this is like stuff you forgot, you taught in kindergarten and forgot. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Amen. Okay. But now watch this. Is it milk or it's easy for us to write this off as milk. But are we doing it? Are we doing it? Are we living it? I got a better word. I got a God word. I got the word the scriptures use. Are we practicing it? Deliberately, intentionally practicing it. I didn't play a lot of sports growing up. When John Mark and Jesse played T-ball, we signed them up for T-ball. A few days later, I get a call and said, "Hey, we ain't got enough coaches. Will you and your brother coach?" I said, "Well, we will, but you're going to have to get us a rule book." Neither one of us played. I mean, they laughed at us. They thought we were kidding. I said, "I'm not kidding, dude. I don't even know the rules." Yeah, Matt's like, "I didn't have a book." You never bought one either, did you? You never bought one either, right? You know what I'm saying? Help us, Jesus. But when we had practice, Marty, it wasn't just like any old time. Are you fine? You know what I'm saying? I didn't tell my team, "Okay, guys, y'all just, if you get a few minutes after school today, practice a little bit. We'll see you on Saturday for the game." No, it was scheduled. It was organized. We had a routine. We worked on this, then we worked on that, then we did this, then we did that, then we all came together, then we tried to make some of it fun. We may try with some conditioning involved. I need to hand the mic to Donald Ballard on this one. He's the athlete in the room. Man, he can tell you about practice. Do you ever have a coach tell you, "Donald, just, you know, whenever you show up, just practice when, you know"? No. So, but see, we got to have that same attitude towards the Word of God. I mean, it's like, okay, it's Monday. From Monday morning, come on, here's your assignment for the week. From Monday morning, from the time you wake up till lunch, we're going to practice putting other people ahead of ourselves. We're gonna set aside 4 or 5 hours tomorrow to work on this, to get good at this. Are you following me? Watch this. How about this? Attending church, is that milk or meat? Well, I mean, anybody knows if you're a good Christian, goes to church at least a few times a week or year or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Well, what did he say? He said, "Don't forsake the assembling yourselves together." Now see, for a lot of people, and this is remedial Christianity. Things we shouldn't have to be reminded of. Is it milk or is it meat? You tell me. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Because, in other words, are we practicing it? Is this something that we do? Are you, amen. All right. How about tithes and offerings? Again, is that milk or meat? It's not about do you know about these things. It's are you doing these things? We practice this. Serving God inside and outside the local church. Is this milk or meat? So again, it's what we are putting into practice. So knowing the basics of the Christian life is not the same as doing them. Mistaking knowledge for growth keeps us immature and predisposes us to pride. Mistaking knowledge for growth keeps us immature and predisposes us to pride. Stand with me. I wonder how many folks were offended at Paul's letter when he said, you ought to be teaching others. Well, I'm not teaching others because I have a busy schedule. That's not nothing to do about me being a baby in Christ. Well, I don't do more around the church because you know, I got responsibility. I got small children. I can't do that. But who does he think he is accusing me of being a baby in Christ? Are you following me? I'm sure there were a lot of people who were like, is he implying that I'm still a baby in Christ in this letter to us? How dare he? He don't know nothing about my life and schedule and how busy I am. You see, you follow what I'm saying, right? I'm sure there's a lot of people offended when he said that, right? Because again, prideful people are easily offended. they're making his case for them. He's making his case for themselves. Amen. You got it. Amen. All right. So here's where we're going to be next week. Milk to meat represents a progression we must actively participate in. All right. Again, back to little Amelia. She's going off of just milk only to food. And there'll be an eventual day when, you know, she won't be nursing anymore. She'll go straight with a, although don't tell her. He's out of town for business, be at the airport 11:30. That's why they're not here today. Don't tell him I said this, but I think Amelia's going to be the hardest one for Bethany to wean. I ain't never seen a child love nursing like, right. She got this little sound like when she's ready to nurse, she goes. It's way too much information, but you know, Bethany pumps breast milk and then Pam, you know, feeds it to her. And in a bottle of that breast milk, Wally, I'm not kidding you. If the bottle's that full, that much of it'll be fat on top. I mean, that's why them babies got thighs, can't hardly fit in a diaper. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That one likes to nurse now. I'm telling you, she likes it. Amen. Are you getting anything out of this? All right. So we're growing up into Jesus. Amen. In all things, we opening the valve of our soul, because immature people, that valve of our soul closed tight. Man, it's about groove the washer. We got it closed so tightly. Amen. We're opening it up. Amen. We're stepping out. All the ways of God require faith. All of them require faith. Amen. All right, Father, thank you for this time together this morning. Thank you, Father, for men and women who are hungry for you. Men and women like Matthew was talking about, Father, that are here to worship, Father, here to draw near to you and to experience you and to encounter you, Lord, for your anointing in this room that makes things better in our lives, Father, just as we experience you and as we practice worshiping you, Father. It's not just something we sit around and experience or witness, but Lord, it's something we do. We practice these things, Father. We grow by doing these things, by the fruit of our lips, giving praise to your name, by giving thanks, not just being thankful, but speaking audibly out our thankfulness to you, Father. All of these things are things that we do, Lord. Some may consider it so basic, but yet for some, it's milk that needs to become meat in their lives. They need to act upon it, overcome, Lord, the resistance in their minds and the mental blocks that they have where these things are concerned. Lord, thank you, Lord, for every person that's here this morning, that's watching online, for those that will watch this later in the archives. I pray, Father, that your word and truth would come alive inside of them. And Lord, just the simple application of your word in our lives makes all the difference. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Know that you love. Know that Jesus is Lord. And as we love to say here at Heritage, good things coming. Again, remind you, if we could get a little help setting up chairs, many hands make light work. We'll get that room set up ahead of this Wednesday. I would greatly appreciate it. You be blessed. Good things coming.